Are you suffering with hearing loss? Are you sick of people constantly complaining that your TV is too loud? Are you tired of asking people to speak up? Would you like to hear more clearly, but you don't want to wear a hearing aid that makes you look old? Then you need to try Listen Clear, a life-changing breakthrough precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. And you can adjust Listen Clear to find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And right now, you can try Listen Clear absolutely risk-free with free shipping. We'll even give you free batteries for life. So call now, 1-800-507-2955. Listen Clear is lightweight and completely hassle-free, and it's practically invisible. Call for your 100% risk-free home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now, 1-800-507-2955. That's 1-800-507-2955. 1-800-507-2955.
Dallas Fort Worth's home for stimulating talk. 660 AM, The Answer.
America's liberty is under assault and women are rising to the defense. It's time for Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM, The Answer. Common sense talk with women and men about politics and standing up for America. With your host, nationally acclaimed speaker and author, Debbie Georgiadis. Ladies Can We Talk starts now.
Well, good evening and welcome to Ladies Can We Talk, where all issues are women's issues. This is Debbie Georgiadis, your host. I'm so glad you've tuned in tonight. And I want to start off by just giving a special thank you and shout out to a brand new sponsor for this show, Ladies Can We Talk, GC Works. GC Works is a Dallas-based company. It's performing research in advanced technology and delivering innovative approaches to the oil and gas industry. Wonderful industries in this great state of Texas. So thank you to GC Works for sponsoring our show. And we have just a really packed show lined up. I'll just give you a quick overview. The next 2 hours, just don't move. Listen to the show for 2 hours. In 15 minutes, we have Lieutenant Colonel Alan West joining us, and he'll be on for about half an hour in this first hour of the show. And we'll talk about all sorts of pressing issues in the world, including ISIS and the trade bill and a bunch of other things that are just impacting America. And then the second hour, we have a good news story about the police in this country, and that is that a local Dickey's Barbecue, which is owned by Maureen Dickey and her husband, has actually launched a new charity, and it is to support and help police officers and other first responders and their families. So Maureen Dickey, Commissioner Maureen Dickey, will be calling in at 7 o'clock just to tell us about her new charity. I love that, in contrast to all the bad news that the media seems to find about police officers. And then in my second hour also, of course, I'm joined by two of my leading lady buddies. This week, I have Mari Sullivan and Lori Medina joining me. So in this first segment, though, this first 15 minutes, I always try to talk about one particular issue that ties into or relates to how America became exceptional, what it means to say America is exceptional. And to identify, I've used the term building blocks, that the pieces that we put together that became America, because I think too many of us live in America and appreciate its goodness, its greatness, stability, opportunity, prosperity, just a stability in civil society. And we don't always recognize how it got this way and the pieces that make it that way. And therefore, we aren't sure sometimes when they're under attack that we don't see the harm that could come to our country if we don't stand up for all those building blocks. But I'm going to, in the next approximately 9 minutes, tie together something Janet Napolitano said, the decline of courses that used to be just standard in American colleges and universities on Western civilization. Talk about that, tie that to what happened in McKinney last week. And I swear it all ties together. So starting with Janet Napolitano, you probably know her name, but you know, she was the she was governor of Arizona. She served as Secretary of Homeland Security from 2009 to 2013, and she is now the president of the University of California system, the whole University of California system. And so this past week, or actually just a couple days ago, my husband went out to California because our nieces, who are twins, graduated from UCLA this past weekend. And so my husband's sister's girls, and he went out for graduation. And they got talking about something that had happened in the University of California system. And that was in the time that the Janet Napolitano has been president of the University of California, she's engaged, she's you know, put her stamp on things, and she has engaged in training for faculty leaders around the whole University of California system. And in case you don't know it, because many of you are just native Texans and maybe haven't even ventured out to California, these are many top-notch schools. These are, you know, some of America's best and brightest going to these schools. So Jan Napolitano, in helping these faculty leaders learn how to be better faculty leaders, better administrators on the campuses, has instilled training. I'm just going to read you some of the things that she has been doing training about. She's warning the faculty about microaggression, and how very, very subtle things you say could be taken offensively. They can be seen as aggressive. Here are examples of things she's telling campus faculty in the university system in California not to say. America is the land of opportunity. There is only one race, the human race. I believe the most qualified person should get the job. Those three things I said to you, I just read to you, are specific examples in a training that she gave in California over the last year. It was actually the school year 2014 and 15, and one particular faculty person made this training curricula available to a website that then posted it. But she talked about those questions I just read to you, America, those statements, referring to America as a land of opportunity, there's only one race, the human race, and that the most qualified person should get the job. She said those statements are the subject, or they are the result of subconscious racism. And she has been training at all these different trainings she goes around and does. She talks about, I'm going to share two other ideas with you. She uses the expression, the myth of meritocracy, that we should not say anything that presumes that people have achieved and succeeded based on their merit. She uses the expression, the myth of meritocracy. So it's offensive to say, as Juan just said, I think the most qualified person should get the job. You know, men and women have equal opportunities for achievement. You can't say anything like that. That's offensive. And she also says it's offensive to use the expression or make an expression relate the idea of colorblindness. And, you know, even though, as we all know, Martin Luther King dreamed one day of a colorblind society where people are judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin, she's saying it's offensive to say things like, when I look at you, I don't see color, or America's a melting pot, or I don't focus on race. Those kind of things are offensive because we want to exalt the racial identity of everyone as among their most important particular characteristics. So this training that she is giving is unsurprising. Given another thing I want to mention, and I again, my husband, Eric, and I went down this past week to a summit that was sponsored by Texas Tech, and it was also co-sponsored by the Texas Public Policy Foundation. And it was a summit on Western civilization, and the main point the teachers and professors who spoke at this summit were making was that for decades upon decades in advanced universities around the world, and especially in America, a course called Western Civilization was taught. And the basic concept of Western Civilization, it was a basic thing when you entered college to kind of open your heart and your thought both to how to think, how to reason, and also to appreciate the advancements in culture that had occurred really since the time of the Greeks. But it was to point out the development of really wonderful, I don't even know what to call them, they're building blocks, I guess, in a way, of civilization. Talked about the idea of the development of individual rights and the rule of law and minority rights and free markets and the search for truth and this idea that we should think, speak, and discuss ideas, the concepts of liberty, the beauty of developing art and the freedom of arts and music, the whole creation of civil society. This was something that most students had to take, certainly most history students had to take, and now under 2% of America's universities even offer the course, and they don't require it, even for history majors. And those courses have been replaced with courses in college such as Asian studies, African American studies, women's studies. So the reason this matters so much is this. When you used to get the thinking behind Western civilization, you would leave college aware of ideas, aware of concepts. And really, America, the founding of America and the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the culture and the society, the political culture that emerged from that creation, it was and is the epitome or the pinnacle of these tremendous ideas that thinkers literally over thousands of years engaged in to get to where we were at the time of our founding, and they created a country on the importance of ideas. Our founders, our American founders, created a country on the importance of ideas. It was an emergence over literally thousands of years from people when the thought was more tribal, when it was just more a conquering one nation, conquering another nation, and into a whole notion of society based on higher ideas, equally applied to all, rule of law, equality of all men and women. These are just noble, beautiful ideas. So in America today, when we teach our young people to value in themselves that the best thing they can do is identify with their race, their ethnicity, their national origin, their gender, and this is who you are. It is an ugly and limiting thing to say to them because it carves people into not just, you know, the term balkanized, not just that people are divided, but in American culture, they are pitted against each other. And this ties into the political culture of the American left today. The American left in our country lives, moves, and breathes with the determination to make every American identify less with America's founding ideas, identify more with their ethnicity, their race, their age, their gender, their, you know, the color of their skin, what language their grandparents spoke, because this divides Americans and it divides Americans into competing groups. And this is what the left does. In fact, I hope later today, we have a lot on our list I want to talk about today, but you can hear these ugly messages in Hillary Clinton's campaign speeches. She is talking to women as though we are so helpless and we are victims, and we're victims entirely because of the fact we happen to be female, and she's going to be right there to right the wrongs. And she just, it is a thinking that causes women to think of themselves as victims, and therefore the people and institutions in our society as the enemies, as the repressors. And she is the, you know, riding on her white horse to save this. And this is driving America back into the darkness that happened before we had Western civilization. So I know that was a big, long thing, opening thought, but it's just been stirring in my thoughts since we were in that conference in Austin earlier in the week about how this is how the left operates, and it hurts American society. So you get to a place where we've had many unfortunate incidents in America with respect to police dealing with minority citizens in America and some not minority citizens, where there's just determination to convince young men, especially young black men, that America's out to get you. You're a victim. The police are after you. They're going to treat you unfairly. They're going to falsely accuse you. They're out to get you. And so we have things like the growing seeds of mistrust because it's a society based on divided groups instead of a higher idea of society that says we support the rule of law and the rule of law applies to everyone. We're going to insist on it being applied to everyone. I'm not saying society is perfect. I'm not saying police are perfect. I'm not saying anyone is. I am saying that our culture is being hurt by this determination to divide us by race and ethnicity and every other factor instead of a cultural thinking that says unite around the right ideas that made America. So that's my opening thought for America. This is Debbie Georgiadis and Ladies Can We Talk. I went a tiny bit long on this first segment, and I didn't want to do that because I really can't wait to have all of you tune in to listen to our interview with Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, who we're just excited to hear with us in the studio tonight. So this is Debbie Georgiadis, Ladies Can We Talk. Come on back after our break.
This is 660 AM, The Answer.
The nonprofit, nonpartisan National Center for Policy Analysis has been Dallas's own national think tank for more than 31 years, providing free market solutions to public policy problems and welcoming new CEO Alan West on January 2nd. Because of the NCPA's ideas of health savings accounts, millions of families are now managing their own healthcare dollars. Because of the NCPA, 78 million baby boomers can retire, keep their Social Security benefits, and keep working if they want to. Because of an NCPA project, employers can now automatically enroll their employees in 401k plans for their retirement. Because of the NCPA's idea of Roth IRAs, $310 billion have been invested and will never be taxed again. The NCPA is truly a great investment. You can help support the NCPA with a donation by going to ncpa.org, where you can also find details on upcoming events or volunteer opportunities.
Did you know by age 50, half of all men have an enlarged prostate? This means more trips to the bathroom, longer time in the bathroom, waking at night to go, or issues in your romantic life. If this sounds familiar, call us now, because we're shipping free bottles of Super Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Super Beta Prostate is a non-prescription formula guaranteed to reduce the symptoms of your enlarged prostate. It's yours free. Pay only shipping and handling. Just call 1-800-952-3467. In clinical trials, the ingredient in Super Beta Prostate was shown to reduce urges to use the bathroom, speed up bathroom trips, reduce waking at night to go, and improve quality of life. This Super Beta Prostate free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Don't wait. Just call 1-800-952-3467. That's 1-800-952-3467. Call 1-800-952-3467.
This plan is not insurance and does not meet minimum credible coverage requirements under the Affordable Care Act. This discount card program contains a 30-day cancellation and refund period. Administrator and benefits limited. Dallas, Texas, not available in all states.
I'm a mother. When my kids were growing up, I can't tell you how many times they had a cold, an ear, or sinus infection. I already knew it was the same thing one of the other kids had 3 months before. Could I get a doctor to call me at home? No, I had to take off work, or worse, bundle all the other kids and go to the doctor's office. Well, not anymore. RealMedSavings.com is like a discount club for healthcare. At RealMedSavings.com, you just call the 800 number and a board-certified doctor calls you back in about 15 minutes, talks to you about what it is, and then calls in a prescription if it's needed. You pay nothing for this doctor's call because you're a member of the club. RealMedSavings.com is not insurance, just real savings on everyday medical problems for your whole family. Go to RealMedSavings.com. Save money and time. RealMedSavings.com. It's worth going there.
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right, 500 business cards for just $9.99. What's more, you can choose between hundreds of designs or upload your own and customize them easily. And because they're from Vistaprint.com, the cards are of top quality and your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. So visit Vistaprint.com today and get 500 shots at turning your dream into reality. Hurry, because this offer won't last long. To get your 500 business cards for just $9.99, go to Vistaprint.com, click on the link in the upper right corner, and use promo code 2323. That's Vistaprint.com. Click on the link in the upper right corner and use promo code 2323.
660 AM, The Answer.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hello there, and welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. Thank you so very much for tuning in, and I hope you do every single Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 a.m. The Answer. This is Ladies Can We Talk, and I'm very excited to have, he's actually a repeat guest here, and I hope he'll do many future times, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West.
Good to be with you, Debbie. Oh, you hear me now?
Yeah.
Good to be with you, and I want to say happy Flag Day and happy 240th Army birthday as well.
Well, you know what? I actually wrote that down about Flag Day and Army birthday. You know, Flag Day has actually been a holiday. It marks the adoption of by the Second Continental Congress of our precious flag as our flag. So do you ex-Army guys celebrate the Army birthday, Alan? Did you do something?
Yeah, absolutely we do. And never say ex-Army. We're former Army.
Excuse me.
Exes are only for, you know, marriages. But anyhow... Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I went outside the house today, took a picture of the American flag and the Army flag that flies in front of our home, and sent that out as a, you know, a message to everyone about this momentous day. And it's great because, you know, the motto of the United States Army is "This we'll defend." So having Flag Day and the Army birthday on the same day is pretty special.
I love that. You know, we at our house, we put flags out. I start it for Memorial Day, and I leave them up through Labor Day because there's a bunch of holidays in there. And I just want to honor them all.
You're not going to move Independence Day earlier because of Ramadan, are you?
I don't think so.
You heard what happened at the embassy in Indonesia.
Actually, no, I don't. Go ahead and tell.
Well, what happened, we came to find out, because of Ramadan, the embassy in Indonesia, the American embassy, moved the 4th of July celebration from July the 4th to June the 4th. Now, of course, the thing that I think the Obama administration and definitely the ambassador failed to understand is that an embassy is a sovereign piece of American territory.
Yes. Yes.
So it is not about appeasing someone else, the host country, because of their religious practice. You know, and very easily, after sundown is when everyone comes out and they can eat. Well, that's when you could have had your 4th of July celebration.
Wow, I had not seen that story. I don't like the disrespect for America, for whatever the reason is, to move July 4th. And actually, you know, I will say, I think since President Obama has been on the scene in Washington, more and more Americans are really tuned into the patriotic holidays. They think of what they're there for, not just, wow, great, a day off from work, but they think about July 4th, Memorial Day, Veterans Day. Just they appreciate all of them more. Yeah. Well, I want to ask you, because I know our listeners have been following this story a lot this week. In this past, I guess it was last month, Monday, President Obama announced, standing outside of, he was in Austria, I guess, essentially saying, we're not quite ready with ISIS, to deal with ISIS. We're not quite ready with our strategy with ISIS.
Yeah, we don't have a plan. We don't have a strategy. And what's even worse was he actually threw the Pentagon under the bus by saying that when the Pentagon sends something to me, a plan, you know, I'll be ready to approve it. This is how it works in the military. When you have the geographic areas of responsibility, such as Central Command, which is responsible for the Middle East, they have what you call on the shelves contingency plans, con plans. And if there is an emerging crisis or something of that nature, they're directed to pull a contingency plan off, to review it, to update it, and they present it to the leadership. It's General Austin, who's the commander there, and then it will be taken to the president to, you know, be selected as a contingency operation. So I can tell you that without a doubt, you know, there have been several contingency plans that have been presented to the president of the United States of America. He just refuses to accept them. So you go back to last January of 2014, ISIS is a JV team. You go to August of 2014, we don't have a plan, and then he comes out and gives a statement where we're going to decimate, we're going to destroy, we're going to degrade ISIS. Then you send, I believe, 1,500 initial advisors there. Then you send another 1,500. Now we're sending 450. All we're doing is what the military hates. It's called mission creep, where you continue to throw soldiers into a cauldron, and you don't have any clear and defined strategic level guidance. And we know that we're only running about 15 to 20 airstrikes, sorties a day. That is below anemic. That is completely ineffective. And I would challenge your listeners, go back and look at all these pictures at ISIS and all of these parades and movements that they're doing in the middle of the day, clear blue skies. They should not be able to do that.
It is so reprehensible. I mean, you know what? It is unspeakable, because we are watching ISIS, all the just horrific brutality they're committing. They seem utterly unabashed, and they're marching forward. But I'm going to ask you one particular thing. President Obama said in that statement that he was waiting for more kind of engagement with the Iraqi security forces. He kind of was saying when they're ready. And then recently you had, I think his defense secretary, Ashton Carter, say, you know, well, they weren't quite ready.
They lacked the will.
They lacked the will, yeah.
Yeah, he completely said they lacked the will.
So what is the deal there? I mean, do we have no way of defending or fighting back against ISIS unless we get Iraqi security forces on board with us?
Well, again, this is the president of the United States of America that is basing his national security strategy on campaign promises, not on sound national security theory, strategy, or military doctrine. So, you know, first of all, this is the greatest blunder in probably the history of, you know, armed conflict, to completely leave a vacuum for an enemy to be able to reconstitute. The president is not going to commit the American forces in a dedicated manner. He is not going to show the resolve and the will that will cause countries like Egypt, Jordan, the Kurds, the United Arab Emirates, even the Saudis to stand up. Think about this, Debbie. The Saudis only gave us a 2-hour notice before they began their bombing against the Houthi rebels. Now, you know, if there was a sense of trust and confidence, if there was all this respect that the president says that we have on the international arena, we would be working with the Saudis and with the Egyptians and with the Jordanians. We would not have four of the six leaders of the Gulf Cooperation Council say, you go ahead and have your, you know, Camp David summit. As a matter of fact, the leader from Bahrain went to a horse race.
You know, on this subject, I really want to stick with this for a while because I think all of us watch what's happening with ISIS and we want to feel there's some plan in place to actually defeat them, not just dance around the edges or slow them down. And
it's not going to happen in this administration. This is, if people remember the old basketball stall tactic of the University of North Carolina under Dean Smith called the four corners, this is exactly what he wants to do, is the four corners. Unfortunately, they don't have Phil Ford up there, but they're going to find someone that can just dribble the ball around and wait it out for the next administration.
But this is, well, unconscionable maybe is a word that just gets used too often. But you literally have, I mean, I posted something on Facebook, on Ladies Can We Talk Facebook page, an ISIS slave price list for Christian and Yazidi girls, how much they cost. They're selling young human beings, who are young Christian girls.
Now, where was Hillary Clinton when you want to talk about women's rights? Where was she, you know, making that part of her speech yesterday?
If she
wants to be commander-in-chief.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. We have to watch that happening. And I think America, even though they say America's war-weary, I also think Americans are seeing what ISIS is doing. They want someone to take charge. So my question really is, with these ISIS, with this claim we need the Iraqi security forces, I mean, didn't they bail out on Ramadi because I've lost track of which was Sunni, which was Shia, but part of the problem was they weren't going to defend their enemies. Wasn't that part of the problem?
Yeah, the thing is that you have a military, since we created the vacuum and we did not stay there or continue to work with them, we had a mandated integration of the Iraqi army of Sunni, Shia, and Kurds. When we bugged out, al-Maliki basically purged all of that leadership and purged that military to be nothing but a Sunni military, and it's a puppet state. So, you know, when you have Sunni and Sunni militia operating in Anbar province, which is Shia militia operating in Anbar province, which is Sunni, you know, they're not going to stand up and fight there. They're going to withdraw back into Baghdad, which is, you know, a Shia-dominated city, even though ISIS now is running suicide bombing attacks. We have to go, and we don't need hundreds of thousands. We just need to be able to show the focus, resolve, work with the Kurds, work with, you know, and reconstitute, you know, the Iraqi military and show that resolve and work with the Sunni tribal leaders that we turned our backs on. Mm-hmm. And we will be able to crush ISIS. The thing with ISIS now is that it's not just Iraq. This shows the narrow thinking of President Obama. It's not just Iraq. It's in Syria. And now it's creating a foothold in Libya. Yeah. Which is another place that the president, with Hillary Clinton, made an incredible stupidity in destabilizing that country with no follow-up plan.
No
whatsoever.
Plan, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on the war-weary thing, I said this to Greta Von Sesteren once, I am sick and tired of hearing that because less than 2% of this country has been fighting in the recent conflagrations in Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, you don't hear the young men and women complaining about the 6 and 7 combat tours of duty. They just want to win. They just want someone that will relieve them of the restrictive rules of engagement that will allow them to engage and kill the enemy.
I absolutely believe that's true. And I also think even if there's some sentiment, some poll showed about war weary, the truth is the job of leadership in the presidency, the job of leadership in the military is to state the case, make the case. We can win this. We have to win this. Here's what happens if we don't win this.
Why this must be done. Because if you don't do something, guess what just happened toward the end of last week? An 18-year-old young man in Manassas, Virginia, was arrested for material support, recruiting, and financial support to ISIS. An 18-year-old.
Wow. He should be thinking about senior prom and who to ask. You know, we are a little time at long in this segment. I wanted to go to our break here because I want to give a good long segment next time, too. I do want to ask one more thing to come back about how realistic is it that when ISIS claims it can buy a nuclear weapon from Pakistan within a year. But actually, after the break, come back after the break. Debbie George Death and Lieutenant Colonel Alan West on Ladies, Can We Talk?
Learn a little something at the start of your day. The Mark Davis Show. Mornings 7 to 10 on 660 AM. The Answer.
Abolish the IRS. Well, sounds like a pipe dream, a phony rallying cry that politicians love to use, but they never act on it. But really, hasn't the time come to get serious about abolishing the IRS and replacing our convoluted income tax code with something like a fair tax or flat tax? Common sense is starting to scream from the rooftops. The way the IRS has behaved in targeting conservatives, stonewalling congressional investigations, having lead IRS officials taking the fifth, and generally conveying a mind-blowing, out-of-control arrogance, says it's time to shut down this government agency. This kind of action is what is known as taking back our country. Debbie Georgiadis here, your host on Ladies Can We Talk, from Sunday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. On my show, we talk truth about America, and we talk about what can be done to truly take back the country. I hope you'll join me in the fight.
How are we supposed to balance the budget when our appliances keep breaking down? Last month, it was the air conditioner. Before that, the refrigerator. What's it going to be next month?
It's hard enough these days trying to keep a balanced household budget. It's even harder when a home appliance or system breaks down unexpectedly. The repair bill could set you back months. But buying a home warranty from American Home Shield helps protect your budget against those unexpected costs because they help pay covered repairs for you. Your air conditioner, plumbing, oven, refrigerator, water heater, and more. For helpful free information, go to ahs.com or call 1-800-322-4147. Service requests are subject to a fee for each trade call. Some exclusions and limitations apply. The truth is, home appliances and systems do break down. So why not get a home warranty and let American Home Shield help pay covered repair bills for you? For helpful free information, including terms, rates, and coverage, go to ahs.com. That's ahs.com. Or call 1-800-322-4147.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. MiniCPAP.com now offers a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's called the Transcend Mini CPAP, and right now you can try it risk-free for 21 days by calling 1-800-528-5588. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. Call MiniCPAP.com now for your 21-day in-home trial. 1-800-528-5588. That's 1-800-528-5588.
In 2002, a National Sleep Foundation poll found that 63% of women experience symptoms of insomnia at least a few nights per week. In my opinion, a major reason for insomnia is the Blue Card. It's a shopping and loyalty card, and it's free. That's right, free. No charge, nada. Next, you can receive up to 5% cash back on purchases. Most cards only offer 2% at most. No wonder girls can't sleep. With the Blue Card, you can also get shopping points that you could use for online purchases. So it's cash back and shopping points. Am I keeping you awake? If you refer the Blue Card to someone, you could even earn money on their purchases. No, I'm serious. It's true. But it gets better. If you share the Blue Card with a merchant, you could earn on the purchases of everyone who uses the Blue Card at their store, too. There's no way you're going to get any sleep until you get your own free Blue Card.
To get your free Blue Card, go to BlueCardShopping.com. That's BlueCardShopping.com. BlueCardShopping.com.
If you've got questions, we've got answers.
660 AM.
The Answer.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hello, and welcome back again to Ladies Can We Talk. We're continuing our conversation with Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. And actually, I meant at the beginning of this to mention that he lives now in Dallas, Texas, and his whole family will be here shortly. And he is now the president of the NCPA, the National Center for Policy Analysis. It is a really wonderful think tank. I urge you, if you're listening, to check it out and Google it and read about it. They just are great source of good info. And but I also want to let you, Alan West, talk a little bit about your military history before I ask your next question. You served in Desert Shield, Desert Storm.
Yes, 22 years, United States Army, Desert Shield, Desert Storm, Iraqi Freedom. I commanded a battalion there and also as a civilian military advisor for 2.5 years to the Afghan Army after I retired. So I kind of know the area pretty good. And visit us at ncpa.org. We appreciate your support.
Okay, well, you have an article out. I want to let you talk a little, or ask you to talk a little bit more. But you said, you titled it, Obama Made the Greatest Military Blunder the World Will Ever Know. And I really think it's, I know you alluded to it before the break, but I want to have you be sure and squarely say what it is, this big blunder that President Obama did in this military conflict.
Well, it was interesting. You know, I did serve a term in the United States Congress, and during a visit, congressional visit to Israel, we had the opportunity to sit down with Prime Minister Netanyahu there in his office cabinet room. And one of the things he clearly said, you cannot zero out your forces in Iraq. You will create a vacuum, and Islamic terrorists will refill that vacuum. And lo and behold, as we said earlier, when you take over the office of President of the United States of America, your most important title is Commander-in-Chief. This is not about campaign rhetoric. This is not about you doing what you believe your ideology would have you to do. This is about understanding reality on the ground. We had defeated al-Qaeda in Iraq. When you look at the movie American Sniper, that was Ramadi. As a matter of fact, Chris Kyle was the devil of Ramadi. We cleared that element out. As a matter, you go back and you look at the statistics for suicide bombings in Baghdad 2009, 2010, we were down to almost zero, pretty much. Now, what just happened last week? A series of suicide bombs in Baghdad, 140 were killed, but not just there, but also in Saudi Arabia. You have ISIS running suicide bombing attacks because they don't respect secular level leadership. They only respect the borderless, boundaryless caliphate. So this is what President Obama has done. He came into office saying that he was elected to end wars. Well, we have to have someone that realizes the enemy has a vote. And you just can't well stand up and say what you want to do without understanding the reality on the ground. The last time we saw this, Debbie, was in the mid to late 1930s with Neville Chamberlain dealing with Adolf Hitler.
Yes.
And we see history repeating itself again.
We most surely do. Speaking of this nefarious enemy, ISIS, you know, in the past, as you said earlier, President Obama referred to them as a JV team, is very dismissive, and obviously we're all watching just horrific scenes of their brutality and barbarity.
It's 7th century.
Yes, they're barbaric. It's not civilized. But there was a headline, a story that ISIS actually ran in its own propaganda magazine, Dabiq, I think it's pronounced, mm-hmm. where it said it could claim it could get its first nuclear weapon from Pakistan within a year. Now, I don't, you know, on the one hand, you think these are barbaric JV team, or are these guys savvy enough to do that and know how to use it?
Well, what you have is an incredible combination of a 7th century barbaric savage ideology with 21st century technology.
Ugh.
You look at what they're able to do on social media. You look at the propaganda. As a matter of fact, last week a report came out saying that al-Qaeda is being run bankrupt because of the success of ISIS. Everyone wants to be on the winning team. You know, ISIS is not hiding away in some cave or whatever, afraid to show their faces. They're declaring who they are. They are taking over territory. And so when you think about ISIS being Sunni, you think about Pakistan, and you think about the allegiance that Pakistan does have with a lot of Islamist organizations, it is very easy to understand that Pakistan would sell that technology or a device to ISIS. We are already seeing Saudi Arabia have talks with Pakistan because why? The Sunni Islam does not want to see the Shia Islam become the dominant regional hegemonic power. And right now, that is what is happening. And stupid United States of America is sitting at a negotiating table with a country that is the number one state sponsor of Islamic terrorism, a country that shouts death to Israel, who's supposed to be our greatest ally, death to America. It has 4 Americans hostage. It controls 4 capitals in the Middle East, Sana'a, Yemen, Baghdad, Iraq, Beirut, Lebanon, and Damascus, Syria. So guess what the Sunnis are going to do? They're going to, you know, make sure they have parity. And that's what you're going to see happen.
I think last time you were on the show, we were talking about the negotiations with Iran, if I'm remembering correctly, just which seemed to be more or less capitulation to everything they're asking and making it look like coming home and making speeches about, yeah, we're really making headway and we're doing nothing except surrendering. We're letting them have basically everything.
You're absolutely right. It is, again, the word unconscionable is unthinkable. That we have a president that is so worried about having a feather in his hat for a foreign affairs success when this is going to be a failure. Even if you say that Iraq will not have a nuclear capability for 12 to 13 years, if you lift the economic sanctions, that means billions of dollars will flow back into Iran. Where do you think that money is going to go? Who do you think were funding the tunnels that Hamas was building to go into Israel?
Right. Well, we could talk about this subject the rest of the time. I did. I had mentioned when I reached out to you and asked if you can be on the show today. I do want to turn to the trade agreement in Washington and the
talking about a Waterloo for the president.
Another mess. Yeah. Well, yeah, you're kind of glad. Actually, before we do that, I want to mention previously today and other times we talked about this, about comparing about World War II history and proud World War II, Neville Chamberlain, and then contrasting what his thinking about the then enemy of the world, which was the Nazis, and then it took Winston Churchill to come along and convince people and lead people to saying this is an evil that must be stopped. This is what we need in America today. We have Obama, who is Neville Chamberlain, and we need someone to actually say ISIS, and it's not just ISIS, it's radical Islam, maybe it's Islam itself, is a problem, and it is our job to stop them. It is our job to protect the future of freedom in the world.
No, you're absolutely right. And Sun Tzu always said, his seminal quote from The Art of War, that you must know your enemy, and you must know yourself, and you must know the environment if you want to have success in countless battles.
Yep. I think you actually quoted him the last time we talked about Iran. Well, okay, I do want to turn, even though I know we're kind of getting up to it toward the end of this segment, but I want to spend a minute on the trade agreement. I think much of America was looking at this whole scene in Washington, and essentially Congress voted this past Friday on, initially they were voting on this what's been called fast track, mm-hmm. They're basically voting on whether or not the president can have authority to negotiate, and if he gets to agreement, and there are actually several agreements that are being considered, that if this fast track passed, then President Obama would just be able to bring the deal back to Congress, and they have
up or down vote.
Yeah. So what got him hung up, actually, though, was this. They were all these acronyms. I know they're a little bit annoying, but
TAA.
It was TAA, yeah, Trade Adjustment Assistance.
Yes.
And you wrote about that, didn't you? About that hanging him up.
Yes. What it was very interesting, because Trade Adjustment Assistance and the Trade Promotion Authority had to pass together, and them not passing together, that meant that it was rendered irrelevant. So it was kind of interesting. I mean, the president of the United States of America, this president, does not go on Capitol Hill too often. He went up on Capitol Hill last week, Friday, and incredibly enough, Nancy Pelosi threw the president of the United States of America under the bus, because she told the Democrat caucus to vote this down. We all believe in free trade. There is no doubt about that. But I think that right now the union pressure on the left caused a lot of these Democrats to back away from the president, because they are starting to be concerned about, you know, the unions losing power, more jobs being shipped overseas. And also, I think that they're going to try to paint the Republicans, as you heard Hillary Clinton say just Saturday, that they're the party of big business and the corporations. And we have to be able to talk about, in very succinct manners, how we need to reform the tax code, how we need to make sure we reform our trade policies so that we can create more economic opportunity here, not economic dependency. I don't think Republicans did a real good job of doing that. And the other thing that is so interesting about TAA, TPA, is that everyone keeps saying that there are, you know, rules and restrictions that the president will have to abide by in these trade negotiations. Show me where President Obama has abided by anything in these 7 years that he's been president. You know, immigration, he's done violations of Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4 of the Constitution with the, you know, release of prisoners from Guantanamo Bay. And I don't know if a lot of people realize that Saturday morning you woke up and six more guys were released. That's Article 1. Section 8, Clause 11. He cannot do these things.
Do you think he did that to divert attention because he lost out in the deal on the Friday in Congress? Is that why that timing was?
Well, I think that, you know, they had it in intention to do this. They have been hinting about it a couple of weeks ago. But I do think that that was something to try to, you know, move away from it. But again, why would you release six more individuals from Guantanamo when you just had these five individuals that you had to extend their stay in Qatar, which really they should be brought back to Guantanamo? So it is very confusing to try to understand what this administration is doing. But the bottom line is, no one trusts the administration. And now you see even Democrats don't trust them.
That's what I was going to get to on this whole trade thing. This, generally speaking, conservatives support free trade. It's kind of like the international version of free markets. We support the idea of free trade. But in this particular case, and most presidents, I guess Nixon never got it, but everybody else, most presidents got this authority that President Obama is seeking. And it's an interesting thing because in this case, because conservatives tend to support free trade, many Republicans, more of the establishment Republicans, went along with him, and they're still trying it. Boehner's rescheduled a vote for Tuesday to try to get it through. But it was the Democrats, and their basic gripe was that they wanted a provision, essentially, it said that if people lose jobs because of this free trade thing, that there's like I was calling it a new welfare benefit. It was a new expenditure.
It is a new big government unpaid-for benefit that will, again, expand our deficit and affect our debt.
Exactly. And this is interesting because the Democrats got stuck. I mean, it was, you know, for President Obama to not have the Democrats get behind him, have to have help from his usual enemies, the Republicans, couldn't organize the Democrats behind him. And it's still a mess. I don't know what will change before Tuesday, but it was kind of a message, I believe, ultimately, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, with whom we're speaking, you're exactly right. The bottom line is people don't trust this president.
Yeah, it is. And his own party made him a lame duck this past Friday.
That's a great way to say that. Yep. Well, you know what? This is such a great interview. I have there's just fun to talk with you about so many things going on in America. Yeah. I want to thank Lieutenant Colonel Alan West for joining us this evening in the studio.
And I'm right here in Dallas. And follow us at www.ncpa.org. And come visit us sometime. National Center for Policy Analysis. Find out about the events and a lot of the policy work that we're doing. And call upon me anytime, Debbie. I'm happy to come over.
Thank you so very much. This is Debbie Georgiadis. And ladies, can we talk? And come on back after our break, and we'll just take off and have a whole lot more to talk about. And we're on till 8 o'clock, so don't go away.
660 AM, The Answer. Dennis Prager can simplify the struggle in the Middle East.
One side wants the other side dead, and that's the issue. That's the whole issue in the Middle East. It's been the issue since 1948. The Arab side, the Muslim side, wants the Jewish state annihilated. The Iranians state it, and so do many in the Arab world.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sean Hannity at 2 on 660 AM. The Answer.
My fellow Americans, liberty.
Liberty.
This is your Liberty Minute.
Liberty Minute.
With Debbie Georgiadis.
American liberty includes freedom of religion and freedom of speech. But these building blocks of America are in sharp conflict with Sharia, the Islamic law, which makes church and state one and the same, and then imposes Islamic doctrine as the only law, a law which denies freedom of religion and freedom of speech. Americans are right to want to preserve American-style liberty for all Americans, and that's the idea behind ALAC, American Law for American Courts. ALAC is especially important in protecting women who otherwise could be subject to Sharia, which treats women as second-class citizens in matters such as divorce, division of property, and child custody. ALAC is a right idea for America and for Texas. Why would anyone want to deny American women American liberty? This is Debbie Georgiadis, and this was your Liberty Minute on Sharia.
Have you ever noticed that every time the subject of immigration comes up, the conversation just never seems to go anywhere? Our border remains porous, and we want a fence. But a fence, we're told from the people who live in gated communities, just won't work. And so the issue dies, and in a nutshell, nothing changes. Hey, this is Mike Gallagher. Most of you are familiar with my friend Ann Coulter and her no-holds-barred approach to the issues and challenges facing the country we all love. Well, she's at it again. And in Adios America, Ann is at her provocative best, trying to stop the left from turning our country into a third-world hellhole. But she's providing our nation the provocative conversation we need to have. And we need to have it now. Grab a copy of Ann's book and let's start that conversation today.
Adios, America. The left's plan to turn our country into a third world hellhole. From Ann Coulter is out now from Regnery Publishing and available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere.
Dentist office, may I help you?
Hi, I'd like to cancel my teeth whitening appointment.
Oh,
May I ask why?
I found a teeth whitener that works in 5 minutes that I can do from home.
Can I ask what it is?
It's called Power Swabs, and it whitens your teeth in 5 minutes, doesn't leave my teeth feeling sensitive, and it's a lot less expensive than visiting the dentist.
Hi, I'm John Greenhut, the CEO of Power Swabs, and if you want to whiten your teeth 2 shades in 5 minutes and 6 shades in 7 days, then try Power Swabs. There's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth and you're done. It removes stains on natural teeth as well as caps and veneers. Try Power Swabs risk-free by calling 1-800-281-4037. That's 1-800-281-4037. I guarantee your friends and coworkers will be wowed by your new white smile. Try it risk-free and get free shipping and handling today. Dial 1-800-281-4037. That's 1-800-281-4037.
Your local pharmacist is also a Health Mart pharmacist, and they're not like other pharmacists.
After Mom's surgery, I was overwhelmed, but I was so relieved. Her Health Mart pharmacist was there to help. They explained her medication and even delivered to her house. Mom got the personal service she needed, and I got something even better. Peace of mind.
Visit healthmart.com to find a locally owned Health Mart pharmacy near you. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
660 AM The Answer. 660AMTheAnswer.com.
Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM The Answer.
It's funny, whenever this music comes on, this lead into this segment, all of us are kind of, we know I like this one. It's really kind of fun music. We all kind of dance in our seats a little bit. Anyway, welcome back, Ladies Can We Talk. I want to say a very special thank you to Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, who joined us for a half an hour in the this most recent segment. And we have just a few short minutes before we get up to 7 o'clock hour. And I did mention at the start, and again, I'll tell you again, just after 7 o'clock, we have a Commissioner Maureen Dickey calling in. And it's just a really upbeat, great thing that she and her husband are doing, Dickey's Barbecue is doing, about supporting police officers and their families and other first responders. So I'm going to let her tell you about her cool new thing. And it's this segment I'd like to do is cruise through the news idea. And I always think I'll cover 6 or 7 stories and I cover about one. But I want to try to cover 2. And the one I wanted to talk with you about, I just think this is a really important. I gave a speech last week. I'm doing another one this coming week. I'm going to make this point over and over. And that is this. The American left is tenacious and relentless in pushing their view on every single issue facing the country. They do not wait for campaign seasons. They don't leave it to the candidates. Generally speaking, in life and American culture, the American left pushes the leftist view, and we need to recognize it, expose it, and not only defend the conservative or right idea, and the conservative idea is the right idea, but we also need to be on the offensive, speaking up for the goodness and greatness of America, because that's where conservatism really is today, is we are on the political right, we are the ones speaking up and defending what America is and was supposed to be. So I'm going to tell you a quick story, which is as follows. There was an article in the New York Times in December of last year, so December 2014, so less than 6 months ago, there was an article in the New York Times, and it was about a study that had been performed by a gentleman who is a professor at, UCLA, where my nieces just graduated from. But anyway, his name is Michael LaCour, University of California at Los Angeles, UCLA. And he basically undertook a door-to-door project, knocking on doors, using the LGBT group on his campus, knocking on doors. And his basic thesis was that people who support traditional marriage could be talked out of supporting traditional marriage, or rather could be talked into supporting same-sex marriage, even by simple face-to-face conversations at the door, especially if the person knocking on your door is a member of the gay community, was a supporter of same-sex marriage. And so he did this study, and knocking on doors, and just they had hired a firm to give them the kind of talking points and structure. They actually had a placebo group. They had all the scientific method things followed, and they went around, knocked on doors, essentially arguing people, trying to convince people to support same-sex marriage, people who had not done that. And this study was overwhelming that actually people can be persuaded. It was something like 20% or more, they claim they had turned their opinion just based on one 20-minute conversation at the door, changed their opinion from opposition to into support for same-sex marriage. And they did a follow-up 9 months later to say, you know, are you still with us on this? Do you still hold, you know, stand with your newfound appreciation or agreement with same-sex marriage? And lo and behold, they sure did. And in addition, they had actually spread that new view about support of same-sex marriage to their family members. So it was really kind of a, you know, and so the New York Times, as you might imagine, was drooling all over itself in this particular, it's called, the title of this, if you want to look it up, is called Gay Advocates Can Shift Same-Sex Marriage Views. And so, again, the professor was Thomas LaCour from UCLA, and he worked with another guy, Donald Green, from Columbia. So the big study, and New York Times is all excited about it. One little problem. As we discovered in just like the last couple weeks, the entire study was a hoax, meaning it never happened. I mean, the entire study never happened. It turned out that these are not, you know, Occupy Wall Street goofballs. These are actually professors, people who've earned the title of professor, educated enough to be considered a professor. They had manufactured a completely false study. They had to pull their data down off the website. Reason Magazine, considered a very serious magazine, had published the study. They had to publish a retraction saying, "Up, turns out the whole thing never happened." And so I share this story with you to say that the American left is so determined to send its views out into the world to convince everyone that, and you step back and think for a second the absurdity of it. How many conversations have you, all you listeners out there, have with your friends and family on controversial subjects and been able to completely turn their hearts in a 20-minute conversation? This is not reality. Yet these professors believed that they could convince everyone this was true, and there was nothing to it. Even the polling company they claimed to have used never heard of them. The whole thing was a complete fairy tale. So when you read things the left claims are true, take it with a huge grain of salt, because they are very, very willing to deeply deceive, to convince you and to make you feel like you're not so sure about your views. You think, well, gee, if they're convincing other people with a 20-minute conversation, you know, maybe I'm wrong. So just be aware of that. I just think it's a really important thing to know about. So, and I'll put the links up to it on the Facebook page. I want to turn this last minute here. We have we have another full minute here before I must go to the top of the hour break. But we've all been seeing stories about the altercations between police and American citizens. And right here in near us in Dallas, in McKinney, Texas, we had another incident last week. And I really, going back to the very first segment of our show tonight, I talked about how the American left works to divide people. And at this point, the American left is working very hard to convince young African American men that the police are out to get you, that you're a victim, that they don't, and that the police will randomly shoot at you. And, you know, these things are lies. They are false. They are falsities that we on the right have to speak up for and denounce, and speak up for the overwhelming goodness and security and civility of the American police forces around the country. And we have to poke into stories where they're being depicted as bad and really learn the facts. So we're way up against the end of my time I have in this segment. This is Debbie George S., Ladies Can We Talk. Come on back after our break.
Even liberals claim to deplore political correctness, but talk about it as an annoying tendency, kind of like if people interrupt each other. But political correctness is actually worse than interrupting. It is shutting down very important conversations on big subjects that we need to be talking about. You may have heard about the 1,400 girls in Rotherham, England, who were molested repeatedly by Pakistani Muslim gangs for a period of 16 years. And it was known by the police, but news of it was suppressed, and the Pakistani and Muslim identity of the perpetrators was largely denied, all because of political correctness. big issues need to be discussed, including understanding the threat of radical Islam and Sharia in America. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and on my show, Ladies Can We Talk, let's defy political correctness and talk about the facts.
You're running your business, and we at Wix.com know things can get stressful. But creating your website doesn't have to be. With Wix, you can create a professional website all by yourself. It's easy and free. You don't have to be a programmer. Just drag and drop everything into place. It's your website, your style. Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your own stunning website today. It's easy and free.
GEICO RV presents Reflections from the Road.
After a few hours riding in my RV, I get in the zone. It's just me, the road, and the savings I get with GEICO RV Insurance.